it is, Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So yesterday, I felt like I was cornered by just Vol-loving, Jeremy Pruitt-believing Tennessee fans with Floyd Reese, Trevor Maddich, and all the callers that were all like, Pruitt's the man. Pruitt's getting it done. Give him time. He's going to get it done. He's the guy. You know, all that stuff. And I'm not knocking that by any means. I have, as I have said time and time again with Jeremy Pruitt, I just don't know. And what I love about SEC Media Days, Floyd, is you know how we always go to SEC Media Days and we talk to literally everybody there, and everybody's always feels the same way about all the teams. It's like last year, everybody was, it's Alabama and Georgia, and there's nobody else. Nobody considered that, hey, LSU might actually be a pretty decent team, and Florida was going to jump up and win 10 games. And all of a sudden, that what the end result compared to what everybody walks into the league year thinking is always not the same. And so with Tennessee, I think everybody's going to walk into the year thinking the Vols are going to be a 6 or 7 win team. They're going to show improvement under Pruitt, but they're still not really going to be able to compete with the big boys of the SEC. And on their schedule, that includes Georgia, Alabama, Florida, etc.
Right.
But I have a theory, and that is yesterday Trevor came on the show, said they're going to win the first 3 games. They're going to beat Georgia State, they're going to beat BYU, and they're going to beat Chattanooga. By the way, yesterday, did you notice how I didn't let that BYU thing go?
Yeah, I was shocked. He threw BYU under the bus quickly.
I know. You know, he picked them to beat LSU a couple years ago. I'm like, where's your school pride at, Trevor?
Yeah.
So he says they're going to go 3-0, Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga. Then comes Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, South Carolina. So there you go. There's your schedule. There's your season right there in a however many week period. At Florida versus Georgia versus Mississippi State at Alabama versus South Carolina. Best case scenario for the Vols has got to be what? 2-3 out of those 5 games?
Probably.
And that's best case scenario. I mean, if they go 1-4 in those 5 games, I think we won't be down on them. If Jeremy Pruitt is the guy that's going to turn Tennessee around, and it doesn't have to be next year, but at some point, the Vols are going to have to win all the games we expect them to win. So Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga, UAB, Missouri Vandy. So now you're at 6. And then they're going to have to not just pull 1 or 2 surprises, but he's going to have to just run through a month like that where he pulls off Florida, Georgia in a row, and we're like, holy bleep. You know, oh my God.
Right.
Like if the Vols start 3-0 and they kill all 3 teams, they kill Georgia State, they kill BYU, they beat Chattanooga 66-13. Everybody will pick Florida going into week 4. And then they go to the swamp and they win 41-14. Everyone's mouth is going to be just on the floor saying, oh my God, what's happened to the Vols?
Yeah.
And that has to happen. I don't think in college football for these great coaches that you're not sure about and then they become great, I don't think they just gradually over time become great, great coaches, great programs, great teams. It's like there is a moment where you look at it and you say, oh, my God, Nick Saban just took that Alabama team that was 6-7 last year, and Nick Saban just went into the first game of the year against Clemson and got Tommy Bowden fired.
Well, I mean, when you're a team like that, a team ascending, if you will, hoping, you know, trying to get over the hump, there's always a signature game at some point in time during the season that wakes you up. If you're gonna pull it off, it will wake you up. And for whatever reason, it's a great win. Everybody gets excited about it, and they carry that excitement for the rest of the year. And they'll end up winning, you know, another game or two just off of that win because of how they did it for whatever reason, you know. And again, depending on how they, you know, it was like our Music City Miracle. I mean, we ended up going to the Super Bowl because of that Music City Miracle. After that, we felt like we couldn't be stopped. I mean, we're fine. Let's go. You know, who we play? Jacksonville. Nobody's ever won 3 games in a row. Doesn't make any difference. We're going down there. We're going to win. We're going to come back. I mean, that's the attitude that we had. And I think you see that you know, you watch programs and you mirror programs and you go through and you see teams come up with that win. And after that win, if in fact they're doing a good job recruiting and get, then I think they're on schedule, you know, then they're on a roll. And now, because let's face it, I don't care who you are, for you to go in a yearly basis and have to beat Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, that's a tough road now.
Well, yeah, Tennessee's got to change that schedule because every year they run through about a four-game period that includes Georgia, Florida, and Alabama.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is tough.
You got to get Kentucky up in there somewhere. You got to go to the league, and you got to say, hey, look, that's just not fair.
No.
I mean, if we have to play Alabama every year, we shouldn't have to play Alabama in the mix with Georgia and all the other teams.
You know, you go out and you play Alabama open with Alabama, and you lose, which may not be the worst thing in the world, but you get six guys injured. Now you lose the next two, even though you're a better team, because you're playing with half a team. You know, those kind of things become a factor too. So, I mean, I agree with you. They've got to break that up some way, spread them out, do something, because you can't. Last year they had that murderer's row. This year they're going to have the same kind of thing. I mean, it's
that
tough.
Murderer's row 2 years ago got Butch Jones fired. I mean, a lot of things got Butch Jones fired, but that murderer's row was
brutal.
When he walked out of there, I think that was a game. I think it was like 41-7.
Yeah.
You know, against Alabama at Neyland Stadium, and it was like, okay, pack your bags, baby.
He had a twitch after that.
That was
get rid of
it. And I would just say that as far as Tennessee is concerned, for me, I feel like eventually that kind of game is going to have to happen. You know, that kind of run is going to have to happen where they win the first three and then they smoke Florida in the swamp. And then all of a sudden we're like, wow, look at the Vols. And if the Vols start off 4-0 with a big win over Florida, they'll probably at that point be ranked 19th or something in the country. And then you've got Georgia. And that's where it's going to be like, okay, if Pruitt is truly a special coach, he'll be able to pull a game like that out where now all of a sudden they beat Georgia. Now they're 7 in the country. And we're like, oh my God, are the Vols back? Then you lose to Alabama and it's kind of okay because you won the other two.
All right.
And then it's like, oh my God, who's left? South Carolina, Kentucky, Vandy, Missouri, Chattanooga, or UAB. And now all of a sudden the Vols, we're sitting there talking about, are they going to win 9 games this year?
Yeah.
And then that's how the Vols get back. So it doesn't necessarily have to be this year. But it's going to have to happen where we're going to walk in and assume the Vols are not going to be able to play with a Florida or not be able to play with a Georgia or not be able to play with Bama, and they're going to have to prove it is going to have to shock us. At some point along the next, probably next 2 or 3 years, he's going to have to just flat out shock us where we're sitting back and we're saying, oh my God, I can't believe what Tennessee has become or what Pruitt has done or something like that. It's not going to happen gradually where they build, win a national championship. It's going to happen where it's like Kirby 2 years ago when he went from 7-5 to the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what has to happen for the Vols to do that. I don't know if it's a recruiting thing. I don't know if it's a instilling the process coaching thing. I don't know what the answer is to that. But that's what I'm expecting from Pruitt at some point in his tenure. And the question is, can he do that where the competition is as stiff as it is? And that's where my take on Pruitt of I don't know about Tennessee, that's where that fits in is I don't know if that is so much to ask of somebody. And yet that's the job.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. And the truth is, and this is the way the SEC is, you know, you could win every other game, lose those three, you know, be 9-3 every year and finish in fourth place. You know, never played a championship game, never probably be rated, never. And still, you know, if you go out and played any other four teams in the country, because there are three teams in the country besides those three, you probably win one or two of them.
Yeah, and the fans will like that for 1 year. But then after that first year where you go 9-3 and you lose to those three teams, they're not going to be happy. There's only so many Outback Bowls the Tennessee fans are going to be cool with before they get upset.
Right.
I mean, right now the Tennessee fans are looking at the Outback Bowl like, phew, get me to the Outback Bowl.
Be nice.
I'd take the Outback Bowl right now, and you go to the Outback Bowl, you just stamp on, I don't know, Wisconsin. You annihilate them. Next year, you're not going to be so happy about going back to the Outback Bowl. You ain't going to be so hot about going to the Gator Bowl or I think it's now, what is that, the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl? You ain't going to like that. You're going to be saying, hey, where's our playoff game? And so it's going to escalate. I don't know when the moment's coming. I don't know if he can do it. But that's my thing with Pruitt, is no one's going to be able to predict if this program gets back. No one's going to be able to predict when it happens. It's just going to be just a shocker. So we'll see. The Vol fans, if nothing else, deserve it because they have been through so much.
Oh, for a decade.
Oh.
Been through this junk.
Just so painful. So let's take your calls on Jeremy Pruitt and the Vols. And my question for the callers is this. When do you think Pruitt will shock us? When do you think it will happen? Where they go out there, he's got to shock us. And I'm trying to figure that out, and I wonder when. And I have an idea of when it might be, so we'll get to that next. And Athlon Sports has ranked the SEC quarterbacks where Garantano is. We'll discuss that as well. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Income Out Juliet, Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, the game.
Jeremy Pruitt's out on the course right now, looking at his golf game. Have you played with him much? And who's the winner here?
Jeremy is a good golfer. I'm not a great golfer, I understand, but he hadn't had much time to practice. So
yeah, he's been busy.
We'll see how he does.
Former AEA, my coach is not wasting his time on the golf course.
He says with a chuckle. Yeah.
You know what, and I do love this about Fulmer. Make no mistake who's in charge of the football program at Tennessee. I mean, everyone still calls him Coach Fulmer. You know, everybody, look, Pruitt is the coach, and I believe that if Pruitt gets Tennessee to the level that he should get them to, I believe that Fulmer will give Pruitt all the credit. But you know inside, Fulmer will be like, I did this because I am the coach. I am the savior of Tennessee football. But that's neither here nor there.
I'll say this. If he pulls it off with Pruitt afterward, then he'd probably be right from that standpoint.
So my theory, again, is at some point Pruitt will have to shock us. Where we just, you know, hey, the Vols have started off 3-0. We feel pretty good about it. And then they go to the swamp and they win 41-7 at Florida. And we are holding our hands like, uh-oh, what do we have here with these Vols? And I don't think it's going to be this year. Next year might be able to be the year. And the only reason I say that is Tua's gone next year, Fromm's gone next year, and the Florida game is in Knoxville. So even though you know that, George is going to have another quarterback, may not be as good as Fromm. Alabama's going to have another quarterback, may not be as good as Tua, might not matter.
But they both might be better, too. We don't know.
That's the other thing you run the risk of. And the Florida game's at home, and it'll be year three, where if Pruitt is a truly great coach and is going to shock us by showing us that he's an elite coach and pulling it out of his rear end, something's going to have to happen by the third year. At some point in the third year, that's going to tell us, hey, this guy's going to be a great coach. I think next year would be the year to think about them being able to do that. I don't think it would be this year. I don't think it's fair to expect them to beat any of those teams this year. I just hope they can play close with Mississippi State, who's in that list of murderer's row teams that they have to play on. Now, Mississippi State has a quarterback I've never heard of.
Well, they have to beat Mississippi State. They don't have to, but you would hope they could beat Mississippi State. They've got to beat UAB.
Missouri and Vandy.
And then they've got Missouri, Kentucky, and Vandy, right? Last three? There you go. I mean, that's at least you have an opportunity. You look at it and say, hey, we got a chance.
And that would all be good if they won most of those games or whatever, but I want a shocker. I want a shocker. I want one where it is, you know, Tennessee hosts Georgia and wins 28-27 on a last-second field goal. You know, where we're sitting there saying, oh, my God, the Vols did it. I can't believe it. Let's go to your phones here on Jared and the GM. Let's go to Corey, who's going to kick us off this hour. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. As far as the timetable and expectations on the Vols, I think you're looking at 2 or 3 years. And the reason I think that is because I think when Tennessee finally breaks through, you're going to be talking about things after the fact like, you know, this team is mentally tough. They hung in there when they got behind and things got tough. They outworked the other team. They weren't necessarily a better players, but they outworked them. They outworked them every day, not just game day. Because Butch Jones, he had plenty of talent, but I don't know that you can say those things about the Butch Jones teams of the past that didn't meet expectations.
Floyd, what do you think? Thank you for your call.
I mean, I would agree. I don't think you could say those things about Butch's team. I'll say this. I think the thing that keeps me from I'm going to expect with Pruitt, I'm going to expect for this team to be physical. I'm going to expect for them to be tough. I'm going to expect for them to be mentally tough. I think when you listen to Pruitt talk of all the things he talks about, I mean, he's pretty open and passionate about the fact that, hey, if you can't work hard and if you can't be tough and if you can't do some of those things, then you probably, you know, you're going to struggle to be here. I think when they get to the talent level, when they can bring in the best running back in the nation, when they can bring in a top three quarterback in the nation, when they can bring in the best receiver in the nation, when they can bring in some people like that, some people that really may have a real effect on you and what you can do on offense or defense, special teams, whatever the case is, then those guys give you a chance to win games. Mm-hmm. They give you a chance to do things that coaches haven't called or do things that nobody expects. Just because they get the ball in the hand, they take off running, next thing you know, they've scored a touchdown. How did that happen? You know? And I think for you to win those or start winning those games like you're talking about, they're going to have some of that. I mean, I think they'll go in there and play most of, you know, if not every game that they play with a certain amount of preparation and focus, toughness, et cetera, because those things don't take skill.
The question is can you do the things that it actually takes to win football games?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have somebody on the field that will do all the things that you want, you know, the right things, the tough things, and good technique and all. But if somebody misses a tackle, he can go the distance. And I'm not sure. I don't know who that is on this team now. You know, maybe it's one of the receivers. I don't know that, but I just don't see. Maybe it's a running back from here. You know,
from NBA, Ty Chandler. I love Ty Chandler.
I don't know, but you need a little, you know, bolt of lightning that comes out of the offense or defense.
Well, and to Pruitt's defense, I think he's got one real shocker already on the resume, which was the game at Auburn last year.
Yeah.
You know, that was a shocker.
Everybody's surprised
that they went to Auburn and won that game. And in that game, they threw a bunch of jump balls to Palmer, the wide receiver, 84. And I felt like, throw it every play to him if he's going to do that. Yeah. You know, and that's where they got to get talented
and
guys.
And that's the guy that, you know, whoever the guy is, you know, holding the four-leaf clover that day, you just keep feeding him the ball.
Let's go to Jason, who's up next here on Tennessee. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jason.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I agree with the previous caller. It's going to be probably 2 years. 2020, you get Florida at home. You get Alabama at home. A shocker could be beating one of those two teams. Let's face it. We got to win our own state first. Friggin' Vanderbilt's owned a spot out of the last 7 years.
Yep.
We got to beat those guys. Before we can even talk about winning the SEC East or winning the SEC, we got to beat Vanderbilt. It used to not be a rivalry. They've made it a rivalry. And I think, you know, to do that, we've got to win games in the trenches. Having Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris, y'all talked about it yesterday, at the bookend tackles, they're going to be true freshmen, and they're probably going to get beat a lot this year. So, next year, next season, that's a possibility. It's going to be a gradual jump, I think. I don't know if this is going to happen overnight.
Well, I think that's a great take. Thank you for your call, Jason. And what's funny is I think the Vol fans, I feel like Pruitt is going to get 4 years almost no matter what. Because every Vol fan realizes how much of a mess this place was. I think the first two, like I think with Dooley and Butch, they looked at it like, okay, we're Tennessee, and you got to build it up, and you got to compete for championships, and you got 3 or 4 years to do it. I think with Pruitt, they're looking at it like, hey, we have the potential to be great, but we suck right now, and we understand we suck, and we understand that it is not going to be easy for you to do your job. So instead of the thing where every Tennessee fan for forever was like, no, we should be competing with Florida. We should be competing with Georgia. We should be. We're the Vols. We should be. You got the guy going, hey, let's worry about beating Vandy before we get into it. And I think that's a very rational take to have, because before any of all of this stuff happens, You got to beat Vandy.
Well, the two, I think the great examples for me was when you watch Vandy play Alabama and then you watch Vandy play Tennessee. And when they played Alabama, Alabama was so much more physical up front. I mean, it just wasn't even, it was like, you know, Ned against the third graders. I mean, they were just men playing boys. Well, when Tennessee played them, you didn't see any of that. You know, you didn't, I mean, there was no difference between the line of scrimmage in those teams. And I think that's when it kind of, you know, it awakens you to the fact that, hey, for us to compete at that level, we got to get some of those for real guys, those hogs, those big, giant, strong guys up front. Because that's who, when you play Georgia, that's what you see. When you play Florida, when you play Alabama, that's what you see. I mean, you see men up front.
615-737-1025, and I don't disagree with any of that. And, you know, the caller was talking about those bookend tackles getting beat this year. I think every time they get beat off the edge by Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi State, Florida, you just have to think to yourself, okay, learn, you know, get beat today, learn for tomorrow.
Payback's coming.
I mean, like, have you had that with young players where you look at it and you got to tell the coaches, like, hey, we can't take Johnny out. We need Johnny to, you know, learn.
You
got
to keep him in there.
Oh, it's going to be
hard.
To
learn, but it's hard and it's scary.
Oh, it's tough. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I have an NBA draft lottery take that I want to get to. And I really want to know Floyd's opinion about it. Memphis got the number 2 pick in the draft, which means in a 2-player draft, they're going to get Ja Morant. Now, every now and then, I get tweets from people that say, why don't you guys ever talk about the Grizzlies? And the number one reason that we don't talk about the Grizzlies are why we don't talk about a lot of things. And that's because I just don't think a lot of people in this town care. So, I mean, Floyd, would you agree with that a lot of people in Memphis or a lot of people in Nashville don't care about the Memphis Grizzlies?
No, I think that's probably right.
Okay. So when you ask why we don't talk about the Grizzlies, it's because we just don't think people care. But I was thinking about Ja Morant. Like, I think he's nasty. If Memphis got good, and I'm not just talking about, like, making it to the playoffs good, but, like, if Memphis was like Golden State, would people in Nashville care? Would they care if they were Golden State, perennial NBA final contender? Would we care? We'll discuss next. 615-737-1025 is chairing the GM on ESPN 1025 the game.
The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
There you go. Memphis gets the number 2 pick. New Orleans is going to get Zion Williamson. Could you imagine, though, if the Grizzlies had gotten Zion last night? I mean, that would, even here in Nashville, I think that would at least be a little bit of a story of Zion is coming to town. Now, and people ask me, Floyd, all the time. Well, I shouldn't say that. And like every 6 months, I get 2 people that tweet that say, why don't y'all ever talk about the Grizzlies? And my answer is always, I just don't think people in Nashville care. I mean, you know, I love it when Chris Mason's on the Preds broadcast and is like, be sure to tune in later this weekend when Kyrie Irving and the Celtics visit the Grizzlies as part of Team Tennessee. I'm sitting there thinking, not only does nobody watching this Preds game care, but I know Chris Mason doesn't care. You know, I know Chris is ready. I know he doesn't care.
I got to get this out of the way.
But now they can get Ja Morant. And I think Ja Morant, the little point guard from Murray State, I think he is a baller. I mean, I think he is a stud. Now, I don't know if that means he'll be any good in the NBA or not, but I just, oh, God, I love him. So let me ask you this. What if they get Morant? What if Morant is like the Durant of this year? Where when Durant came out, everyone was obsessed with the big Greg Oden, who was the better college player and was the bigger hype guy. And,
right.
And Durant was number 2. Let's say that Ja Morant is Kevin Durant, and all of a sudden he takes Memphis to, like, NBA final championship contention. Will the people of Nashville care about the Memphis Grizzlies if that is the case?
Well, I'm sure there'll be some basketball, you know, aficionados that would care. I mean, NBA followers. But as a general rule, I don't think so. As a general rule, I mean, I know when I was with the Titans, I mean, we were in Memphis. So
Now remember, Memphis hates us way more than we hate them.
I don't know, but they didn't care a lick about us. I'm just, my gut feeling, and I have nothing to base this on. I mean, I'm not sure there are a lot of people that drive from Memphis to see the Preds play.
Oh, no.
And so I would think there probably wouldn't be a lot of people from Nashville that would drive to see the Grizz play.
So it's, to me, it's not so much about driving. It's as much about would you turn the television on to watch the Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, you might do that, but that's...
But I'm talking about, like, just buzz. I'm talking about, like, right now, let's say that we were getting ready for... Let's say last night was game one of the Western Conference Final, and the Grizzlies lost to the Warriors, and, you know, we're sitting there. Would we be breaking it down? Would we be saying, okay, now, if Morant can drop in his 25 and they can get 30 from Thomas, that would be good enough to kind of cancel out what Steph did last night kind of talk? Or, well, like, I do think there's a chance that this city would adopt the Grizzlies as their basketball team, but the Grizzlies would have to be just freaking awesome. Like, not even, I think the Grizzlies went to the Western Conference Final a handful of years ago. Not even that. They'd have to, like, win a championship and maybe be competing for another championship, and then this city would be willing to adopt the Grizzlies. I just don't think the Grizzlies play here, which is crazy because the Vols, for example, the Vols are so popular here, and they're just as far away, 3 hours away in Knoxville, as the Grizzlies are, 3.5 hours away in Memphis.
Right, but are the Vols as big in Memphis?
Vols are huge in Memphis.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Bigger than Memphis?
I think so. I mean, Memphis sucks. So I'm talking about the college and the city, but really the college. I know that Tennessee, when I was in high school, the Vols played a football game in Memphis. Now, this was when Memphis was in Conference USA and all of that, and people told me that there were so many Vol fans that made it out to the game. And a lot of that has to do with it probably wasn't just in the city of Memphis where the Vols fans were, but also everywhere in West Tennessee, probably anywhere west of Nashville. This is probably the closest the Vols ever come, unless they go to Ole Miss or Mississippi State. This is probably the closest the Vols ever come for them, so they would go to a game like that. I just think that I think it's two things. Number one, I'm not convinced Nashville cares enough about basketball. We like college basketball. We like SEC basketball. You know, so we like Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida when they're good, Vandy when they're good. We like that, and we like the fact that we host the SEC basketball tournament. We like that. Do we like the NBA to the point to where on a Thursday night before they play, let's say they're playing LeBron and the Lakers, would we be all giddy about that kind of game if the Grizzlies were constant NBA finals competitors or whatever? I can't say I feel that way about it. Like if the Grizzlies,
if the Grizzlies
had a run like the Spurs had, where the Spurs were a contender, not a winner every year, but were a contender for basically 15 years, would Nashville fall in love with the Grizzlies then?
Yeah, I don't know. That might. I mean, again, I think there'll be a certain aspect. I just don't see. Now, this is from a Californian, you know. I just don't see Memphis and Nashville liking much of the same stuff. You know, we got a football team and a hockey team, and Memphis doesn't care a great deal about them. They got a basketball team, and Nashville doesn't feel a great deal about them.
Well, the way it's been told to me, now you were there, but the way it's been told to me is the reason Memphis was so anti-supporting the Titans or the Oilers was because they thought they were the next city in line an NFL team.
They tried like crazy.
So when they didn't, and Phil Bredesen hoodwinked them and got the Titans to Nashville, it was like their form of protest in not supporting the team because they were mad that the Titans didn't go there. We don't have problem with the Grizzlies.
I'm going to tell you what. I went there one time to speak to the – they've like got like the largest Rotary Club in the nation. They're like 3,000-4,000 people. So I get up to talk, and I look at this crowd, and there's not one smiling face now. I mean, they – and I said, what – you guys are really mad at me, aren't you? You know, I said, I didn't do anything. Yeah, well, we should have had the football team. Nashville hadn't done anything. We've been working on this for 10, 12 years. And all of a sudden, they end up with a team. How does that happen? You know, on and on and on. I'm going, guys, I'm just here to talk about the Titans now. You know, it was awful. I mean, it was hard.
So my theory with that, though, is that that is one-way jealousy. Like, we're not jealous of Memphis. In fact, I think we laugh at Memphis. I think we feel bad for Memphis. I think we look at the Grizzlies like that was your consolation prize for the fact that you can't get a football team. Was somebody gave you professional basketball, and they kind of suck. So we kind of just look at you and just say, pfft. The only time I ever think about the Grizzlies is when Chris Mason reads about the next game that's going to be on TV. You know, that is literally the only time I ever think of them. So, but my point about the jealousy is that I feel like Memphis is jealous of Nashville. So anything that Nashville has, Memphis probably won't support. But Nashville is not jealous of Memphis. So if Memphis has something good, would we support it just because, hey, they're close to us and we'd be cool with it and they're winning and everybody likes a winner. And I do wonder, that's kind of my thought plane in terms of would we support the Grizzlies. Now, if we had something good, Memphis would never support it. But that's because they're jealous of us. So that's I guess, how that works. But I'm down to take some calls. And my question is, again, if Ja Morant is a super stud, who Memphis is going to take at number two, if he turns out to be a super stud like Kevin Durant and the Grizzlies have a 15-year period of NBA championship contention, would you care? Would you support the Grizzlies, become a Grizzlies fan, watch Grizzlies games? Would we have to talk about it? Because, again, we get those tweets, won't you guys ever talk about the Grizzlies? Because nobody really cares. But would that change? So I say we take some calls. 615-737-1025. Ricky, kick us off here on this topic. What's up, Ricky?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ricky.
Yeah, I feel that if Ja Morant goes to Memphis Grizzlies, the Grizzlies could build up their foundation. But rest assured that if Ja Morant does his job and the Memphis Grizzlies does their job, they could be in contention for final status.
I mean, I think so. It's just the problem is we don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Right. But
hey, do you think
I'm still a Grizzlies fan win or lose. It's like I am a Tennessee Vols fan win or lose. So that's just the Tennessee in me.
No,
as far as they win or lose, I'm still going to go for Ja Morant because he's a part of my alma mater, Murray State.
There you go, Ricky. I appreciate your call. I don't disagree with that.
How tall is he?
Morant? Yeah. Not very. Yeah. Like isn't 6 he like, foot, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, how can he? I mean, we're talking about Durant and him. I mean, there.
Is Steph Curry tall?
Well, yeah, but isn't Durant like 6'9 or something?
Yeah, I mean, Durant's
yeah, I mean,
a freak.
They're big guys.
But, you know, Curry and Damian Lillard, you know, those guys are now they're taller than they look on the court because all the other guys are so tall. But I mean, I think Morant could be. I mean, when I saw Memphis at number two, my first reaction was, oh God, what if they got Zion? But then I remembered it was Memphis, and the NBA nobody would ever allow Memphis to have something like Zion Williamson. There's like certain things that just don't belong in Memphis. Zion Williamson is one.
Although, is New Orleans a big basketball town?
Oh no, New Orleans stinks too. It doesn't stink like Memphis.
I mean, I think that's strictly a football town.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, still, I think there is an inherent drop-off from New Orleans, not just in basketball, but in everything. A significant drop-off from New Orleans to Memphis. And that's why the NBA is like, we are not putting Zion in Memphis. We'll give you Ja Morant. We won't give you an NFL team. We'll give you Ja Morant. Let's take your calls on it. 615-737-1025. Jared the GM on ESPN 1025, the game. I have NBADraft.net's player profile on Ja Morant up, and his NBA comparison is De'Aaron Fox. Remember De'Aaron Fox from Kentucky a couple years ago? I have no idea what De'Aaron Fox is doing now. I have no idea if he's any good or not. I don't care.
Not playing basketball.
No, I mean he starts in Sacramento's okay, but he's not like, you know, anyone who's good. But Ja Morant, that is his comparison. Morant 6'3", 175. We're talking about the Grizzlies. If Morant takes over the league, and maybe he will, you never know about these things. If he takes over the league, would we care about the Grizzlies in Nashville? Caleb on Twitter, I think, has a very interesting point. And in fact, I really like it. And his point is this: I've lived in Nashville for 2 years. I now live in Memphis. No comparison. I love the Preds and the Titans. I hate the Grizzlies, and I wouldn't support the Grizzlies if they went 82-0. Let's go to the phones. Jeremy is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Jeremy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I can tell you, as a person that lives in West Tennessee, of course, I live 30 miles north of Jackson. I drive a truck, so I'm in Nashville 3, 4, 5 days a week. Nashville and Memphis, there is no comparison between the sports. Memphis is jealous of everything in Nashville, and it is a basketball town. They will not support football in any way, form, or fashion except for that one bowl game they do on New Year's Day. And if it came right down to it, instead of watching the NBA, I watched the boring Blues-Sharks hockey game.
Oh, it was boring. Oh, was that boring? I don't know about that. Thank you for your call,
that's
Jeremy.
Interesting.
Can I say one thing as we're talking about boring? If you were the commissioner of the NBA, would you not be depressed that maybe the most exciting competition of your season was last night, and it was whether or not a ping pong ball came up for a certain team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the truth is, I mean, it's almost embarrassing. You're thinking, this is NBA, this is a pro league, and what are we doing? Well, we're running this ping pong ball through the machine to see whose name pops up. I think to myself, why would you do? I mean, this
and
livelihoods
are on the
business.
Line.
Yeah,
and
I mean, we got coaches that are going to get fired if they can't get this guy. Got to be a better way. But anyway,
Michael is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Michael?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I lived in Memphis for about 26 years and graduated there. And I moved up here recently for a job. The economy up here is just booming, especially hospitality. But I think I'm starting to figure out after 6 months living here that between the two cities, they just don't like each other. Memphis Sports Talk Radio, I mean, I was listening to it today. They bash Nashville every day, and it seems like it's kind of the same here.
First of all, we bash Memphis like...
I think there's there's probably a little bit of jealousy there going on with Memphis.
Oh, I have no... We have no jealousy for Memphis. We are so not jealous.
I agree with that. And I agree with some of your points there. I kind of feel bad for them, but...
I feel bad for them, too.
I don't think there's too much Nashville or Memphis can do as far as becoming Predators fans. They have a small amount, and I knew some that come up here for games, but... I also think the NHL is a bit of a smaller market, so
Michael.
Why Nashville wouldn't take tickets at Grizzlies if they were to be good.
Thank you for your call, Michael. I'm going to let you go, your phone's killing me, but it's probably from Memphis. But I would say that I don't think there's – I mean, I think whatever the level of support Memphis had for the Stanley Cup final run or whatever, that's the most you're going to get on the Preds out of Memphis. We don't need Memphis to support the Preds. We're fine with how the Preds are supported here. The question is, would we support Memphis? And because of our lack of jealousy and the fact that more people on average like basketball, I honestly do think Nashville would support the Grizzlies if the Grizzlies were San Antonio Spurs level good. Like, I think they would support him just because of the amount of people, just because basketball is kind of an easy game to watch, and people like to front run, so if the team was good, they'd be like, that's my team, and they like that aspect of it. I do think they'd support it. I'm sure they talk about us every day on Memphis Sports Talk Radio in Memphis because they don't have anything interesting to talk about because they don't have a football team. I mean, that's what else are you going to talk about in Memphis? You got the Grizzlies, you got Penny Hardaway and how he's making beefs with Rick Barnes that don't make any sense, and you've got nothing else.
That's it.
So let's bash Nashville, even though Nashville's 1,000 times better than us. And that's probably what goes on there. Aaron is up next here on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I was born and raised here in Nashville, but I just lived down there for about 10 years, moved back here about a year ago, and Nashville is just superior to Memphis. But I don't think that there would be a huge following just because Nashville is not a huge NBA market. Like you mentioned earlier, there's just not a lot of NBA fans here. Like, I think there would be some if the Grizzlies became a contender year in and year out. But generally speaking, I don't think there would be a huge following. Memphians, one thing I learned down there, three things they despise. John Calipari, number one. Number two, the Tennessee Titans. And number three, the Tennessee Vols. There's really not a big following, and there's not much coverage down there of the Vols. It's just a totally different world, just a completely different world.
And if that were the case, Aaron, thank you for your call. If that's the case, that's probably exactly why Penny went at Rick Barnes the way that Penny did go at Rick Barnes earlier this year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think in my mind, that's kind of what I thought about Memphis and the way they looked at us. You know, I didn't think there was, I mean, they kind of, and you've heard me tell the story, they told me way back when, Atlanta and Memphis were the same size, and Atlanta wanted to become a metropolitan city, and Memphis wanted to remain in the South, you know, a southern, and it worked for both cities.
Define worked.
Well, Atlanta is a powerhouse, and Memphis is still a part of the South.
Oh, God. You know, it feels bad because we've been ripping on, like, the people calling, like, oh, I've lived in Memphis, and Nashville's way better. We're not debating whether or not Nashville is better than Memphis.
Yeah.
I mean, there's. Let me just ask you this. Do you think the NFL draft would ever go to Memphis? No.
No.
No. Would the NBA draft ever go to Memphis? No. It would not. So there is all of that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on Jared and the GM. ESPN breaks down which teams are most married to their quarterbacks. It's a very odd way to do it, but it at least makes a little bit of sense. I want to get into what they said about Mariota. We'll do that coming up next, plus what ESPN said yesterday about Mariota when they kind of broke him down. We'll discuss all of that as well, too. I love Authentically American. I love the polos we have, the jackets we have. Everything that all of our gear that our station, everybody's got is Authentically American. It's made in the USA, and they can do that for your business, too. I also love my pair of scrubs that I got from Authentically American, the high-performance, antimicrobial, moisture-wicking, stain- and wrinkle-resistant scrubs. If you're a nurse, doctor, medical salesman, whatever, you need to get these scrubs. I'm telling you, most scrubs have this kind of like cardboard feel to them or whatever. These are like workout clothes. They are so comfortable. I absolutely love my Authentically American scrubs. They are so comfortable. And I'm telling you, if you are a doctor, if you're someone who has to wear scrubs at a hospital, you're going to buy one pair. Just buy one pair, authenticallyamerican.us/scrubs. Buy one pair, try them out. You'll end up buying more because they're that comfortable and they're that breathable and they're that good. Again, everything with Authentically American is made in the USA and they can take care of your business like they took care of ours. Authenticallyamerican.us and authenticallyamerican.us/scrubs for those scrubs. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.